You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The first hour was dedicated to a program that I did back in on March 30th, 2019 with Dr. Antoine Ken McGeary, and it was about marijuana. He is the author of The 21 Unspoken Truths About Marijuana and is a medical doctor who worked in the ER. And inasmuch as cannabis and marijuana were legalized in the state of Illinois and in many other areas, starting January 1st, I thought it would be very timely to replay his program. And he does have a new book, and I'm going to have him back to talk about this new book in the very, very near future. Meanwhile, we are live, and it is, it's January 4th, 2020, and this is Deanna. I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, where it's nice and chilly. We had a little bit of snow, but you didn't chime into the program. You didn't start listening to the program to hear about weather, or maybe that is something we also need to talk about. I'm going to open the phone lines at 800-313-9443 and invite your calls, because there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of weather-related stuff, that I find incredibly questionable, just very, very questionable. The weather patterns are, they're kind of different and very, as I said, questionable. Now, my guest last week was a gentleman by the name of Brad Huddleston. And I'd had him on a couple months before. He is the author of Digital Cocaine and the Dark Side of Technology. And it's a book, and I learned so much from my guests. I love to have interesting people on the program. And in his book, which I have in my hand, Digital Cocaine, A Journey Towards Eye Balance. And there is a picture on the front of his book with a child, a young man, holding a phone. And like he's taking in, a line of cocaine. Is that what you call it? A line? Or is that something else? Anyway, he's sucking up cocaine into his nose or somewhere. But anyway, and reading this book provoked me to purchase a few other books. I'm a book reader. I do not, I don't get my information from YouTube videos or from the internet. I am a reader. I've always been a reader. I will always be a reader. I read probably 3 books a week, and I always have, like my dad, I always have a book in my hand. And I love to read. That's what I do. I love to read and I love to write. But in his book, on page 67, he said, I first heard about video gamers who wear adult diapers while watching an episode of CSI Las Vegas that aired in 2011. The CSI team was investigating the death of an obese video gamer who was wearing a diaper. I was incredulous, to say the least. A quick internet search of video gamers who wear diapers actually yielded hits. In case you're wondering why these big babies do this, they don't want to be interrupted by a bathroom break during competitive gaming sessions. I thought, oh my gosh. And since reading that, I have also discovered that they keep a jar next to their computer, next to when they're playing a video game, which led me back to some of the research that I did previously. It also led me to purchase Glow Kids, which I definitely encourage people to purchase and buy. I also bought Digital Detox and the Narcissism Epidemic, and which I've been reading this past week. And it also led me to reread the book Newtown by a gentleman that wrote about Newtown, Matthew Lysiak, Lysiak. And of course I wrote a book myself, called Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences. Now when Adam Lanza was born, he was a headbanger for, well, 3 years. He did not talk for 3 years. And I made the assumption, well, gosh, it must have been the vaccines that really altered his personality and created the person that he became. And as I was rereading, I had read Newtown before. It was already in my library. It led me to look at other factors that I included in my book but did not focus on, because I really was not aware of violent video games as much as I am now since having Brad Huddleston on my program. I know that Adam Lanza was very, very focused on video games, and from reading, rereading Newtown, I made another connection that has really altered, and deepened my feelings about what happened at Sandy Hook. And I have reevaluated, well, a lot of the subject matter in my book and thought, okay, that's not as relevant as I thought it was. That probably isn't as relevant, and maybe this is more relevant. I was focusing on other things which were interesting, and of course I have my website about Sandy Hook, and I've written numerous articles about Sandy Hook at that website, and that website is screeningsandyhook.net, which I invite you to look at, because of all the articles that I have. And usually I was focusing on, gosh, the school was open, and here are all the funeral pictures of everybody that was involved. And I focused a lot on Wolfgang Halbig and other issues. And so I went through my book and looked at some of the other things that maybe I didn't highlight, and because I have, of course, I have the book in as a Kindle as well as a hardcover, and it has really changed my thinking quite a bit. But first I'd like to talk about this marijuana situation. And of course, as I said, I invite your phone calls regarding marijuana. And I was talking with our wonderful, wonderful producer chatting during the first hour. And in our little text discussion via Skype, we decided, and I mentioned, he said that it had changed drastically, and I said that, let's see, what did I say? I have to find our little discussion. I said that the defense, and this is in my book, the Defense Department's Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, sponsored some of the computer-related research and gave wargaming a new meaning with unmanned planes and other automated battlefield activities. Now, if DARPA was involved in perhaps altering the formulation of what is now cannabis or marijuana, as opposed to what perhaps was available 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you might want to rethink that change and what it might be doing to the people who are going to be using it. And I also posted in the chat room, which is spingola.chatango.com, I posted several things about Illinois and about how they legalized it. And this took effect on January 1st of this year. And because of this legalization, I thought, well, this is something that I really want to cover. And, of course, I do invite your phone calls regarding marijuana and its use. Illinois became the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana for adult use. And J.B. Pritzker signed the bill in June. And as I mentioned, this took effect on the 1st of this year, 1st of January, and consumers age 21 and older can buy marijuana products from licensed sellers in Illinois with or without a medical marijuana card. Medical marijuana dispensaries are the only legal sellers of marijuana for recreational use in January 2020, but beginning in mid-2020, Illinois will grant additional licenses to dozens of new stores, processors, cultivators, and transporters. And then, up to 295 stores could be in operation in Illinois by 2022, according to Marijuana Business Daily. But county and municipal governments will have the power to decide whether to allow sellers to operate in their area. Now, people can purchase cannabis flower or products with less than 35% THC will be slapped with a 10% sales tax. Cannabis-infused products such as edibles come with a 20% tax. Products with a THC concentration higher than 35% come with a 25% tax. Illinois municipalities and counties are able to levy additional local sales taxes. This new law also imposes a 7% gross receipts tax on the sales of marijuana from cultivators to dispensaries, a cost that will likely be passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices. On December 31st, Pritzker pardoned more than 11,000 people convicted of low-level marijuana offenses. So, I think that we see this as a big money-making project, and you must ask yourself, as the producer and I were chatting, if it's the same cannabis that was available, say, 15 years ago. And he said, it's like comparing near beer to 180 proof liquor. He said they may have the same, he said they may have weaponized it with genetic engineering. So, I think that people really ought to be incredibly careful with what they're smoking or eating, and you need to really rethink what you're doing to your body, no matter what you're putting in it, or smoking, or sniffing, or whatever it is people do with it. And I mentioned before in previous programs that I have tried it. I tried it once when I was 14, when it was given to me by somebody that was attempting to sexually seduce me. It didn't work. And then I tried it, maybe 3 years ago. And I just felt like this is not something that I want to be involved with. I want to have all my wits about me. I don't drink. I don't do a lot of things that people do, because I want to have my wits about me. I want to be a rational thinker. I don't want to be inebriated. I don't want to be high. I want to be able to think clearly and make decisions based on rational thinking, not on what I happen to be smoking or drinking or whatever. I don't believe that, well, it's really up to each person, of course. I'm just telling you what I like. I personally don't want to have any substance that would interfere with the thought processes. It's hard enough to make decisions and to live in a world that seems to be have a lot of really toxic things, a lot of really questionable things going on. I want to be able to think through these things and have some rational answers, or at least be able to question what is going on around me. And I do invite your comments about cannabis, what your thoughts are, and you can call into the program at 800-313-9443. And now I do want to talk about digital detox. I want to talk about these other books that I've been reading, and the weather. But the weather patterns are crazier than, well, they're just really crazy. You have things going on in Australia that are questionable. In California, snow in the Los Angeles area. My gosh, if that isn't the most questionable thing ever. Just the weather patterns. And we know from from Vietnam forward, we know that they were testing weather modification in Vietnam. Vietnam was a trial period, and we do know that they passed weather modification procedures in Congress, and we can look those things up. They're in the congressional records. So I think that there are things that we do need to be thinking about and talking about, and I think we need to really have our wits about us as we do this. And I would like to also get back to the idea that Brad introduced, and his two programs, the two programs that we did, were just really eye-opening to me. He talked about not putting your child in front of a TV screen or any kind of screen, that we should be playing board games. And I mentioned several times on this program that when my children were young, that when my youngest was about two, we thought, TV is terrible. Let's get rid of it. And so we got rid of it. I never realized how much I depended on TV to occupy my children so that I could make dinner or whatever else I was doing. Because when we got rid of the TV, I just didn't realize how much I had depended on it. We always did a lot of family things. We went to the I took my children to the library. We went bicycling. I took them to the beach. We read together. I believed in labeling stuff so that they could learn how to read early. Put a sign on the refrigerator that says refrigerator so that they could learn how to read early. I taught my children how to speed read. When I was, I actually went to college, when they were young. I was I was going to college too. And, so I taught them, some of the things that I was learning. And my son, is a speed reader. He's a fabulous individual. I just had the most wonderful visit with him over the Christmas holidays, which I really didn't celebrate Christmas because it was just tough getting through with some of the things that occurred, the death of my daughter. It was just almost unbearable to go through Thanksgiving and Christmas, but he made it doable, as did my fabulous son-in-law, Chris. So anyway, we just had this wonderful time, and we continue to have a great relationship. And I just love my children, and my world revolved around them. And getting rid of the television made me realize just how important it was to be a good parent. And I didn't put them before a TV screen. We played Monopoly, we played Clue, we played Scrabble, we played the card games, Fish, and Old Maid, and all that stuff. And we had a great time. Did I mention Clue? We just had the best time. Me being a mother and baking cookies and interacting with my precious, precious children. And but I learned how to do that. I appreciated them so much more. Not in the first month. I thought, wow, this being a parent takes some work here. This is not just having a child and handing them a cell phone or putting them in front of a TV and having the TV or whatever babysit them. Being a parent takes effort, creativity, and work and dedication. And that's what we have to try and incorporate. Anyway, I've been doing all of this studying this week, And it has been very fruitful. I've learned and relearned some things and rethought things, and refocused my attention on what Adam Lanza, was doing as early as 2008. 4 years before, maybe even earlier. And he was playing violent video games to the point that he would play 10 to 12 to 14 hours a day. Violent video games. And one of the things that he was studying the most was how to murder the most people. And the people that he was studying typically shot themselves, usually in the head, because that was part of it, that you would not allow the police to kill you, but that you would decide when to take your own life. So it has altered my thinking, some of my conclusions, very much. So as I said, I have met the most incredible people doing this radio program and have learned so much, from my guests that it's just a pleasure to interview so many wonderful people that I can learn from. And you can learn from everybody. If you're tuned in, and you can learn from everybody. You may not learn from every word or every sentence they speak, but if you pick up certain things that are going to expand your mind, expand your thinking, make you think deeper about something, or alter your opinion about something, changing your mind about stuff, it's not a bad thing. It just means you're growing and you're attempting to change direction, to find a greater truth than what you previously had. And so that's what I've been doing this week. And I'm pretty old-fashioned. I have a cell phone. It's turned off. I use it maybe once every 3 months, and I use it only in the case of an emergency. And I believe I've shared this with you before, that back when they came out with, when Motorola came out with their first cell phones, I bought one because I was traveling in 5 different states. I was in the textile business, and I felt that I should have a cell phone so that I can keep in touch with my children. And I just felt that it was, that I needed one. And it was a huge thing. They called them the brick. But since then, we're now to 5G, 5 generation, children as early as, excuse me, as young as 2 are given these phones. And I'm just appalled, absolutely appalled. One of the things that Brad says is, do not ever put your child in front of a screen. That means a TV screen, a video, any kind of any screen. Whether it's a cell phone, an iPad, an iPod, you do not put your child in front of a screen. Which I mentioned led me to buy Low Kids. I'll be right back. Stay with me. All righty, welcome back. Louisiana. Excuse me. Well, I don't do Facebook. or any other social media, I think it's a good idea that RBN has a Facebook page. Okay, let's take a caller. We have Susan in Ohio. Susan?
Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to share with you that I'm very compassionate about the things that you're talking about here. Do you remember the program Sesame Street?
Yes.
It would be, I'm thinking about the year 1970.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a program where they taught children how to play alphabet, to learn the alphabet, and you would have these big colored balloons and stars and shapes jump out on the screen. I'd had my first daughter in 68. And I remember when I would be doing things in the kitchen in the morning, she would be sitting back. I always kept her back from the screen, and she would have her attention completely uninterrupted during that program. And what I noticed, I remember that really bothered me. That really, really bothered me. I thought, how on earth would anyone instructing a child follow that act? You know, stand up and hold the attention of a child, because it was so exciting. And it was boom, 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 and you would have all of these objects moving around and flashing, get real big, A, B, and that kind of thing. And I'm like you. We're not connected at all. We're not connected. We have a flip phone that's out on the other side of the garage, in the car, just for when my husband goes into town, and in case he needs it, because it's a kind of a long winding road to get to town. And I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about our generations right now. Little did I know all the harm and what was to come after that. I had no idea what was going to follow. I remember our son coming in the door. My children did go to public schools. And when my last daughter, she was about 13, I was beginning to see how bad it was. I'd call myself a fairly slow learner, because it should have been more obvious. But the technology, I remember our son coming in and he said, if you don't learn how to get on the computer, now this is before everybody had a cell phone, you know, he said, you're going to be an outcast. And I remember when he said that, I looked at my husband after he left the room. I said, well, we're not going to eat computer keys. And we have lost our skills. I really love listening to what you talk about these things. And as far as everything else goes, I've learned so much since then. I've heard some very heart-gripping things on your program that are really hard to imagine, that some people can be so evil. I don't think everyone in these industries are evil, but it's because they must be ignorant of it. But there's such evil. And I wanted to say about some of the other things about the weather and all of that. One thing. This is two topics, but I think they're related. I'm going to talk about just what Christ said to Pilate. Pilate told Christ before he went to the stake, he said, don't you know that I have the power of life and death in your hand? And Christ's reply was, he said, you only have power in that which has been given to you from above. And I think about these things deeply, and I look at the moral decadence all around us in our nation. We have those that really don't want it that way. There are those that are outside of all that and hate it. But for the most part, there's so much decadence and so much we, I always say, I will say when I'm talking that I believe the enemy has certainly done this, but I'm very concerned. It breaks my heart to see the condition that so many of our people are in and how docile they are, no questions asked. And it just breaks my heart. And of course, I do talk to my children all the time. They're more aware, but not as vigilant as I'd like them to be as far as their lifestyle. The lifestyle on watching out for these things. They've been born into it, Diana. Deanna. I mean, what we have now coming up are born into this. They don't even know what a dial phone is or just anything but a cell phone, Facebook and iPads and all of that. But I just wanted to share my appreciation. I've heard some things that you don't want to believe that it can be that bad. But it is. But it really is right now. And I just hope more people might tune in and listen, you know?
Well, I really, really appreciate your phone call. And when you compare what was on Sesame Street as to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, where he was inviting and friendly and kind and yes. And just could really communicate love and caring, as opposed to Sesame Street, a big difference, big night and day difference.
I agree.
And, yes, absolutely.
I agree. I mean, kindness, it's become sort of a selfish, it's about me, my body, and I.
Right.
Families don't connect anymore. And I definitely think that this has been a plan, because family is a rock. And moral principles are foundational, our Christian heritage. And it's just, the plan is to cover that up, to get rid of it. To get rid of these moral principles, family. And it makes me desperately sad. And, right now, I do see some young people pulling in, some young people. Not a whole lot. But where I live and everything, I'm not out there very much, but I talk and share every opportunity I get. I'm not on the internet, and I do get information out there whenever I'm given the opportunity to, and hope that somebody will take a look. But a lot of people really don't want to. They really don't want it. It means making a change, or it interrupts all that what they know. It's very hard to believe that people can be that wicked, because we don't think that way, Deanna. We don't think that way. We would never put things on the shelf that would be detrimental to someone's health. We would never try to cover up or camouflage damaging chemicals in food. Having stuff on labels that you can read, now putting it under something else that sounds nice, but it's the same stuff. We don't think like that.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Yes, it is a problem.
When you're a decent, law-abiding citizen, you really don't conceive of other people being other than who you are, when in fact they really might be much worse and might have objectives that are out and out evil. And you mentioned the family unit. The family unit is the basic unit that makes up society. And when you look at all of the attacks against the family unit, a lot of which is seen on television, and it's kind of interesting that when you, if you watch TV at all, that if you turn off the sound if you have a movie on or something. And if you turn off the sound and you just watch for 10 minutes and you think, gosh, those people are obviously acting. It's so false and it looks terrible. And why do people watch this stuff? And when you have a commercial on, if you also turn off, if you close your eyes and just listen to what it says could happen to you, we usually learn visually. 75% of the population learn visibly. They're visual learners. And if you just listen to what could happen to you if you buy this product and use it, you wouldn't buy the product or use it. So you really have to think about what it is you're taking into your brain when you flip that dial, when you turn on that television. We did end up later on, we were without a TV for probably 7 or 8 years. And then we were coaxed into getting a small TV. And I was shocked between the time that we got rid of it and the time that we got another one about how television has changed. It went from things like really, really nice programming to really garbage and just a short period of time. Children can now watch TV. They get sexualized. They're introduced to violence. They're introduced to homosexuality. They're introduced to so many things that it's appalling that any parent would allow their child to watch this stuff. But it's because everybody has a television. Gosh. So it must be okay. It's not okay. You really have to look at what you're doing. And as far as Facebook and YouTube videos and all the other stuff, the people in Silicon Valley, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, did not allow their children to have any of these technological toys till they were in their teens. And yet they're very happy if you go out and buy a smartphone or whoever produces those, to buy a phone to give to your 2-year-old. That's perfectly great.
It is alarming. I need to hear these things too. I share every opportunity I get. And this is motivating all the more. But I mean, I will be honest with you. I'm sort of tired and worn out. the television is filthy. We get this little paper. The closest city we are closest to is a little town called Marietta, southeastern Ohio, and the population is 14,000. And we get this little paper, and you'll have the life section. And it gives this picture. This is how the enemy works. You have the picture of health, a mother, a father, and then maybe a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, just like you just said. And they're leaning up against a white wall. The house is pristine, clean, and what most people today that are downtrodden, a lot of them are working 2 jobs. They don't have time to spend with their children. It's horrible. Okay, and that's how we are now.
Right.
And but they show the picture of the family, and it's called the life page. And
right.
They all have an iPad in their lap, even the 2-year-old.
Wow.
And then the article is, how old is safe to start, you know, acclimating your child to learn how to use these things? And they're showing a happy, healthy family right there. It looks like they're all together, but they're all looking down at their iPads, and they have smiles on their face and picture of health. And this is such a lie. And it's just like the high priest of pharmaceutical mysticism. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. You have the ads of someone running, jumping off a diving board or biking along a biking trail, advertising something for maybe acid reflux or something. And I tell people, read the insert, read the insert, read the insert. Because right now there are two people I love very much. They've just been diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
One is, and it just breaks my heart. And I know they're going the other route. I don't tell people which way to go. I just tell them to read the insert. You need to research it. But they are, it appears, slowly removing vital information to make it accessible as it ought.
Right.
But I just wanted to send a hello your way and how much I've appreciated your program, Deanna.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care. All righty. If you want to call into the program, that telephone number is 800-313-9443. And we can talk about the weather. We can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. Marijuana, pornography. Pornography. They're using the internet for child trafficking. And I have done programs where I've talked to parents whose children have been taken. It's so sad. All right, we're going to a quick break. We will be right back. Deanna, and we are taking phone calls. You can talk about anything you want. You can talk about Trump. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about Sandy Hook. You can talk about whatever it is on your mind. The telephone number is 800-313-9443. It breaks my heart that the things that are happening in Australia, the koala bears have been just all but decimated. The animals, of course, I'm an animal lover, and all of this weather and fire, it just breaks my heart that there's so much destruction. And of course, people losing their homes, people losing everything they have. And you have to ask, what the heck is going on? Why is the weather changing? Why are we having snow? And just north of Los Angeles, where there used to be orange groves and all kinds of wonderful things. And we're talking about the differences in the things that we're seeing. And I mentioned before, I believe that businesses should, if they wish, to have a Facebook page. I don't participate in Facebook. I don't participate in any social media except Twitter. I tweet out the program, and that's about it. I do not have any screen in my bedroom. The only thing I have plugged in my bedroom is a Himalayan salt lamp, and so you should not have a screen in the bedroom, particularly if that screen is with your child, because your child is not going to be alone in there. There's going to be somebody, who knows who, a predator is looking at utilizing your child for pornography, for promoting sex between adults and children. Your children are targets. Don't allow your children to be a target of some evil person. You don't, no screens in the bedroom, period. That should be your rule. All screens out of the bedroom, if you're going to have a screen in front of your child at all. Now, in 2019, we used to think that the average age of a person who was addicted to games, particularly the violent games or any game, we used to think that it was children, teenagers. The average age is, in 2019, was 35 years old. We're talking about adults who are now spending a great deal of time doing messages and doing whatever it is they do via the internet. Is addictive. It creates dopamine. It's like being in front of a slot machine because you're always going to get some sort of payback. It's going to increase the dopamine. And when you get a payback for going to a website, you're going to keep returning to that website because it feels good to you. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All right, welcome back. This is Tiana, and somebody in the chat room wondered if the marijuana that is now being grown and sold is the same marijuana that it was 20 or 30 years ago, and some of which grew in the wild, according to our wonderful, well-educated, wonderful producer. He said that he did not think that it was, and I believe that they have changed it. And I believe that many things have been changed and altered. And we also talked about the taxes that are going up. This is about making money. This is about the corporations and each of your cities are corporations. They are not cities. They are not towns. They are corporations, and those corporations have to have money to do whatever it is corporations do with your money. And you really have to pay attention to what you're smoking, drinking, eating, whatever you're taking into your body, to make certain that it's something that you really want to have in your body. And as I mentioned, last week I was talking with Brad Huddleston, and he mentioned, and I mentioned before about Steve Jobs and the pornography and the dopamine and not having screens in your bedroom and how addictive they were, that it's like having a slot machine, that when you go from YouTube video to YouTube video, and it's like, oh, I won $10 here. Maybe I'll go and watch this YouTube video. Maybe I'll get some more. It's a slot machine, people. All that is to draw you in, to take your mind off of reality and create a false a false life for you, and you cannot do that to yourself. And remember that your frontal lobe does not develop, getting back to the marijuana, it does not develop until a person is about 25 years old. That's a prefrontal cortex. Does not develop until you're 25 years old. You start smoking marijuana or whatever it is they're putting out there as marijuana. You start smoking that stuff or whatever it is you're smoking. Before you're 25, you are going to have problems. You're going to suffer, according to Brad, you're going to suffer anxiety, anger, ADHD, sleep loss, emotional numbness, a lack of empathy, all kinds of things. And keep in mind that he also said that in China that they have treatment centers. In Korea, South Korea, remember South Korea is a very, very small country. It is one of the most wired countries in the world. There are 400 detox centers helping people get away from their digital addictions. And you can get something called digital dementia, where your attention span goes down. And this is very prevalent among children, and you need to take those technical gadgets away from your children. Also mentioned child trafficking, that all of this, when you put your child in front of a screen, when you give your child something that they can go on the internet with, you could be opening their lives up to some pretty horrific things. As I mentioned, his talk, his conversation that we had led me to a lot of other books, including rereading the book Newtown, by, Lysak. And then, which took me back to rethinking and, looking at some of the issues that Adam Lanza was involved with. Some of the things that he was doing, the biggest thing that he was doing, and he started doing this, 4 years, at least 4 years, probably five, playing violent video games. And one of his interests was in serial killing and finding a place where he could kill the most people and where he could also inflict himself when he was done with his killing spree. And he was competing with other people. He was online. He had he had a room set up where he could target practice. He had rooms set up where his mother allowed him access to guns. She was not being responsible. She did not know her son. She did not understand what he was doing, or she just wasn't paying attention. And it's unfortunate. It's more than unfortunate. It's awful. But, she knew that her son had severe mental problems for years and recognized his unpredictability. She was totally neglectful and irresponsible in that she not only allowed her son access to guns, but actually bought guns for him. Whether she was attempting to assuage him or what, no individual who has ever been treated for mental issues should have access to a gun. And she was murdered, she was a victim, but she was also very irresponsible. And the unexpected shootings at the Sandy Hook Elementary School deeply and emotionally impacted the country as well as people abroad, as no previous mass shooting had ever done, probably because of the tender age and the number of victims. And he was involved in violent, violent video games. He would play for 18 hours at a time. And she states that when she saw him in front of his computer, that he looked zoned out, that he was just totally captivated. And now there's another game that he used to play called Dance Dance Revolution. And he would play this for as many hours as 6 to 8 hours. And I believe this probably was because he had developed akathisia, which is a problem where you have to keep moving your feet in order to help your akathisia. It's just something, it's an involuntary kind of a thing that occurs as a result of, well, psychiatric drugs. And of course we do know, according to the gentleman who was one of the attorney generals who worked for the state health and human services department, there are about 200 people that do that, and that they did not release any of the drugs, the list of the drugs that he was on, because they didn't want people to stop taking their medicine. So I have rethought a lot about the things that I have in my book, and now I am absolutely concentrating on other issues and rethinking some of the things that I wrote, and thinking, oh my gosh, it's the video games. That is what it is. It is the video games. And then rereading Newtown by Lysiak, it was such an eye-opener. So I do learn so much from my guest. And it's sad. It's really sad. And his online activity, somebody asked about his online activity. He was involved with groups of people who were involved with violent video games. And he was they didn't cover it accurately in the news media. They really never covered it at all. They covered other things. They didn't cover a lot of things. And then, of course, the first people, one of the first comments after Sandy Hook occurred was in 12 hours. Somebody said, oh, it was a hoax. You can't just make such an irresponsible statement that it was a hoax. and 12 hours. And if you have to do the research. I'm talking deep down research, and it takes more than 12 hours to research the death of 26 people, the circumstances, the surroundings, who did it, what the perpetrator was involved with. It is so irresponsible to come out within 12 hours and make such a ridiculous, irresponsible comment. So it's, and of course, you have to wonder what many of the people say. Well, gosh, we saw on the one father get on, and he was making statements, and he smiled, and he did this and he did that, and why would he smile? And you have to say, well, gosh, how did that video, who put that video up to begin with? Who did that? Who took 27 seconds out of a 19-minute video and posted online? And who did it? What were their pretenses for doing that? It just seems, you have to ask questions. And you have to ask the right questions, do the right research, and put some time into it, and not just make irresponsible statements that you can't back up with absolute proof. Okay, we are taking calls at 800-313-9443, and I think a good thing to talk about would be the weather. If you watch the news, all you see is big semi trucks going off the road, and you think, "Oh my gosh, look! Everything in the country is just falling apart. How can that be? What is going on?" All you hear. And the way the delivery of that news is always the same. No matter what news program you're watching, it's all the same. The delivery is very alarming. So it's very, very alarming. And yes, please do think about what you're saying, and before you make comments about Robbie Parker having to get into character. Nobody said that when the person who lost his 5 children due to his wife drowning them in the bathtub, nobody said a thing about that. Nobody said, well, gosh, why didn't that father cry? Why didn't he cry and carry on? Well, nobody said anything. They just accepted the story. And so anyway, you just have to ask yourself, okay, what happened here? What were they trying to hide? Was DARPA trying? You have to ask also who produced these videos. And I mentioned that DARPA was in charge of doing some of the videos to train people to desensitize people, and that certainly has occurred. There was a time. And in history, not very long ago, that parents would not even purchase a toy gun for their children because they didn't want them exposed to violence or to be thinking about violence. And now parents are allowing children to watch violent video games that are so much more intrusive than a wooden toy gun. Avery Yates, this person I was trying to think of, when she drowned the five children in the bathtub, her husband did not get up and cry in front of the cameras. He was in a state of shock, as I'm sure anybody who's lost a child would, no matter what the cause is. It's a very disturbing thing. And they need your empathy, not your sarcasm and lack of. So anyway, as I was mentioning, let me talk about some of the books that I've got going on here. The Narcissism Epidemic, Digital Detox, is a good book to read. It's very quick read. And, it literally tells you how to get away from, the video games. And it tells you about the video games and how much time people are spending on the video games, what they are, because a lot of parents don't know what their children are doing. Okay, we'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And in the book, Digital Detox, it's the ultimate guide to beating technology addiction. And let me just share a couple things with you. You visit Facebook promising yourself that you'll only spend a few minutes, only to surf aimlessly for an hour. If you relate to the above circumstances, I have bad news. You're likely addicted to technology. The good news is that you can beat the addiction and reclaim your life. All addictions, from an obsession with gambling and drugs to video games and technology, are based on the same fundamental dynamic: the brain's expectation that engaging in a particular activity will produce a reward. And that is true. The rewarding stimuli, the thing that spurs gamblers to continue gambling, is the risk involved in the activity. That is, if you win at a $1 bet in blackjack, and that gives you a little bit of satisfaction, risking $100 on a single hand is more gratifying. So, unfortunately, over time, addicts need greater amounts of the rewarding stimuli to produce the same level of reward. The pathological gambler who starts feeding his addiction with $5 bets will eventually graduate to $100 bets and more if he has the funds to support his growing habit. The greater the risk, the more dopamine that is released in the brain and the greater the resulting sense of satisfaction. Now, you can consider that same, you can apply that to addiction to technology. It works the same way as a gambling problem. You're compelled to act by the brain's expectation of a reward for doing so. Researchers are uncertain regarding what the brain considers to be rewarding stimuli in the activity. But studies show that the act of checking emails, texts, and social media releases dopamine in the same fashion as wagering large sums in a casino. Researchers have found that tech addicts are more inclined to feed their addiction because the gadgets that make it possible are everywhere. They're always around. People take these things to bed with them. They take their cell phones to bed with them. Which is terrible. These things not only are addictive, they also have EMFs. They radiate certain frequencies that are physically damaging. So taking one to bed with you, putting it under your pillow, putting it on your nightstand, putting it anywhere in your bedroom is the wrong thing to do. In fact, you should not even put one on your body. If you read the small print, it tells you, and nobody reads the small print, when you sign on to something, no matter what you're buying, you don't read all the fine print that's in seven font. You just sign it, but you don't know what you're signing. And it says, for cell phones, don't put these in your body. A lot of people, women, put their cell phone in their bra, or they have these pants, stretch pants or whatever, where you can slide it in on your thigh. They have a pocket there. Men may put their cell phone in their back pocket, and there have been stories of people, young people, whose hip has just been crushed, has just disintegrated because of the frequency from that cell phone. And a lot of times people will say, oh, I butt dialed you by mistake. That means that somehow they set on their cell phone and they dialed your number. That is just the wrong thing to do, people. Don't put them on your body. There's nothing that you can do to make your cell phone safe, because in order to receive a signal or to send a signal, you can't just put a little tag on it that makes it okay to use. If you can use it, that means that you're not protected, because that signal has to get out of that telephone to go somewhere or to receive a call. So don't think that putting a tag on it is going to help you. Okay, we will be right back momentarily.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you.
All right, we are back. And we do have a caller. And we have Jim from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
James from Ohio. Ohio must be popular today. People in Ohio are listening. Welcome.
Well, I've enjoyed much of your material in the past, and we talked once or twice. I believe I sent some books, and what I did today at the library was go under your Spiana, your audio file from last August when you had James Perloff on. He's been on two other YouTube presentations, interviewed with Dr. Janda up in Michigan, and the large one is, what, about 2 hours and 47 minutes or something. I tell people, listen to the last 40 minutes, and he explains the things that you and Roger North were talking about on that YouTube you guys had put together.
Good. Fabulous.
I was inclined to send you just an extra copy here of the work by Thomas Paine. You and James Perloff had decided that he had written more of the Constitution, or not the Constitution,
oh,
the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. So we have somebody in our conference call, Xerxes, who figured out he read it very carefully, and he threw him in jail for about 6 years. He said when the judge was sentencing him, he was talking about the Declaration. He says, "I do not consent. I do not consent."
Right.
The prosecutor realized exactly what he was referring to, in which the any justified government operates with the consent of the people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting that the elite created the paperwork. It was never really meant to protect the commoner, the common person, and we've placed a lot of confidence in certain things that our so-called founders did that really took away the rights of the local people, the states, and federalized all of the power in Washington. And it's been downhill since. And of course the so-called Civil War, and which I have studied quite a bit about, you just have to question everything historically and events. Somebody just asked me a question in the chat room about Sandy Hook, and I said, remember that you always believe the very first things you hear about any event and never really get around to doing any independent research, because, well, it's just easier to believe the first stuff that's out. And once you form an opinion based on a lack of research, it's just easier to join the herd and to be a consensus thinker rather than thinking something out yourself. Remember, it's easy to stand with the crowd. It takes courage to stand alone.
Perloff's book was saying that. Remember Perloff's book, what is it, The Truth is a Lonely Warrior?
Yes, yes. And that saying that I just said came from Mahatma Gandhi. And it's true. It's easy to stand with a crowd. And
you remember his favorite reply about they were questioning him, they asked him what he thought of Western civilization. Do you remember what he said?
No.
You ought to try it sometime.
Yeah. That's funny. That is funny. Wow.
There's another writer, Jack Cashel. Have you come across him yet? I'd love to have him on your show.
Yeah, send me his information. Or did you?
One of his books is Popes and Bankers, and he's talking about Jefferson going into bankruptcy before he died. And of course,
oh, absolutely.
Points, well, sure. And
yeah.
Apparently he gave some of his books away to the Library of Congress before he died, so they didn't get sucked up into the bankruptcy. He couldn't liberate his own slaves as George Washington did in his will and testimony.
Right.
They had to be sold to pay off the bankruptcy because of the state government, the Commonwealth of Virginia. What a shame.
Right. And even after the so-called Civil War, when they were talking about freeing the slaves, there were people up north. Remember that slavery started in the north, and the people up north, that freeing the slaves didn't apply to their slaves. It only applied to the so-called Confederate states. They had to release theirs, but the people up north, it didn't apply to them. So you really do have to do the research. And anyway, but it's it is interesting, very interesting.
You've seen some of Bill Still's material, probably.
Oh, sure.
The laws and stuff.
Sure. Yes, I've read all of his stuff.
a few minutes into it, he shows this powerful banking building down in the southeast states, meaning Wachovia. My brother became chairman of Wachovia before the whole thing went tilt.
Wow. Wow.
And I still don't get along with my brother that well. When they threw G. Kennedy Thompson overboard, my brother became the chairman for the meeting in Carolina.
Wow.
Oh, my. I have too many pages to talk about on a short show like yours right now.
Yeah.
Perloff and Jack Cashel might become acquainted at some point because you're aware of what happened with the first Secretary of Commerce, Black Secretary Ron Brown?
No.
Well, the plane went down over there in Croatia, 35 people on board.
Oh, right, right, yes.
So when Jack Cashel writes it up, he becomes a narrator on a YouTube presentation. He says, "The Strange Death of Ron Brown," and then the subtitle, and its relevance today. I'm probably not quoting exactly, but it's very good. Probably worth your time to find it someplace on YouTube. And, of course, I was aware of some of this a long time ago. I quit filing all tax returns in 1978. That's how long I've been involved as a rebel, you might say. I knew Erwin Schiff when he was in our National Nominating Convention for Libertarian Party. I wasn't even a member of the party, but I went over there for an unpaid vacation. The women from Michigan knew who I was. They sent me to John Kerioff. He said, "Yeah, I need you." I said, "What do you need me for?" He said, "I need somebody to deliver my press releases. I've just about worn out a pair of shoes going around Lower Manhattan."
Wow. Wow.
But Erwin Schiff died in prison, and he didn't take the good advice of the people over there in New England. They told him, "Don't go into the court. Don't hire a lawyer. Take your picket and walk around the building, but don't go in. Don't get tangled in their jurisdiction." And he foolish enough to start, you know, playing around with the game, and he lost big time. His son Andrew was over there at the convention, and after they finished all the business on a Sunday afternoon, Andy and I took tickets whenever when Schiff spoke. But his son Peter, that's the older son, I believe still in Bill Still's movie, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember John Statmiller and Mark Cornegay when they were still up in Michigan.
Oh, right, right. Yes. Yes.
So, did you ever meet the two guys? Well, the ones up there around Chicago area, Bill Benson and then Red Beckman.
Oh, right. I interviewed Benson.
Is he still in good health or not?
I don't think so. I think he's gone.
Well, Red Beckman died in 2018, I believe, didn't he?
Yes, I do believe he did. So many of the people that have produced so much good work are now passed on to their reward. But they've left some really good work behind. And,
when you were talking with Perloff, it came out about the distrust or maybe distaste or worse than that about Christianity and what Thomas Paine felt about it.
Right.
So if you and Perloff want to manage that situation a little better, you have a fellow from Illinois, he passed away in 2010, called Glenn Kimball. Are you aware of his work?
No.
The Hidden History of Jesus' Childhood and The Hidden History of the Crucifixion. I don't have both of them in front of me to give the title directly, but Glenn Kimball had a surviving son, Chase, C-H-A-S-E. Chase has a webpage now. I might even call you up and leave it on your voicemail or something, but I'm hoping Chase comes on.
Just send me an email.
I don't have that. I had my email hacked quite a long time. I'm crippled up. It's a rather nasty circumstance.
Oh,
I don't need
okay.
to talk.
Okay.
I'm lucky to be alive. I was in the hospital a couple times the last 5 years. And the local people stole my vehicle. That's just the police state I live in.
Wow.
I'm talking about the crooked lawyers that they set up so you don't even own anything. Everything's taxed. And you've probably heard of Walter Burian over there in Arizona.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I've had him on my program.
That's what I figured.
Wow.
So did the lady who was on Coast to Coast AM on the weekends, and Raleigh James. He made acquaintance with Raleigh James.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. This will probably be a very ripe and interesting time for the people to develop a little alternative idea of what's happening for the last 100 years. And James Corbett, that's over in Japan, talking about the century of enslavement.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out what I dare to say on the conference call tonight, and I don't want to step on somebody else's time or say something that takes a half hour to say, and I can't say it in 2 minutes.
Right.
But I was fairly lucky in grade school. Like in the, third and fourth grade, I had a teacher, Gladys Heide. She lived up the road about halfway to the county seat. And she had to explain to me what a dairy farm was. I didn't know even though I lived on one. But
wow.
She did fill in the blank problems for arithmetic class. Consequently, I was 35 or 40 years old later. I said, hot damn. In the third and fourth grade, she taught us the four elements of a promissory note. And this is not taught in the grade school. The children are to be pitied because they're not learning the basics. And another very fundamental question for the children is, what does a contract consist of in your native written language? And you'll hear the and then you say, well, very simple. One or more complete sentences. And also you should see in parentheses, gibberish is unenforceable. This becomes extremely pertinent then when you're looking at a $20 bill. There's not a sentence on the back or on the front. There's no period. It may be a clause, but it's not a sentence. And in God we trust, but, except the orders that pay cash or some whatever you want to make a meaning of it on the front.
Children are not taught how to write cursive anymore. They don't know how to diagram a sentence. It's horrible. It's horrible.
I would even quibble with Bill Still, even though his movies are a good shot at the truth. If Bill Still says the plutocracy is ruled by the rich, I would say, no, don't say rich, say wealthy. Rich should become a virtue.
Right.
You remember the nursery rhyme for the children when the mother rocked in the cradle, and she would say, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, right?
Yes.
Classification according to generosity. Well, it's nice to be rich. You can be generous. The poor guy can't maybe be quite as generous, but the rich and the poor are the producers in a society. What's the beggar do? It depends upon the generosity of the first two. What's the thief do? He destroys the generosity of the first three.
Right.
I mean, terribly philosophical. Deanna, maybe you have some better ideas.
Oh, we're just running out of time. I can't believe how quickly 3 hours goes by. But
I don't even remember what books I've sent you so far. I even have this one diagramming Henry Ford as the horrible guy, and the Mass Production of Hate, I think, is the name on the book. I know it's written by somebody that didn't figure anything and everything that Henry did, but he was one of the wealthiest guys in the world, and I have some other ideas of how that accomplished.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I worked quite a few of my jobs in Michigan for my career. I worked in 15 different states for about 30 years. So I didn't like corporate America. Now, you heard of a fellow named Craig Hewlett over in Washington State?
No.
You can look him up on their lengthy web. Excuse me. I think he's written another book, but he had most of his outfit was killed when he was in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on explaining matters, and he understands the interlocking directorships, the corporate America, the corporations run America. We even used to joke about we'd call in on a radio show, a talk show, and the guy was certainly a little bit militaristic, and he was, I'm trying to remember what we used in ROTC to describe a guy like that, a gung-ho, I guess. So ask him who the most four most influential generals were in World War II. He'd start naming off Eisenhower and
Douglas
LeMay.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And they said, after they took the bait, somebody would say to him, no, you don't have it right. What do you mean I don't have it right? He says, and they'd say, General Motors, General Foods, General.
Wow.
So corporate America and all the profit structure. So what's another joke before the program ends?
I don't know. I don't know. We're, you know, I think I'll cut you loose and cover a few other things here. But I really appreciate, all of the things that you have sent and your comments and I wish you the very best. It sounds like you've been really victimized, as many people have. Many people
just
have.
Just a warning, you said.
Yeah.
This theme from Glenn Kimball is fascinating to me. There's a few other pages that you use a search engine to find out about him. I can send some of it, but I can't do it immediately. And
sure.
Glenn's pointing out, and Jesus was not born in 1 A.D. He was born in 7 B.C. And he proves that by pointing out the death of Herod, who, you know, ordered the babies killed or whatever.
Right.
And Herod was already dead by the calendar we have. He was already dead 2 or 3 B.C., so he couldn't have issued an edict because Jesus wasn't born yet.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, God bless you, dear. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you too. Thank you. We'll be right back. All righty, we are back. And I was going before. I was going over some of the ways to disengage, to detox, and remember that, well, I'm sitting in front of a computer, and it really does take a lot of self-control not to check email or whatever it is people do. And but that's what people do. A lot of people have smartphones. I have no idea what a smartphone is, but apparently a lot of people have one. And the problem is that their use stimulates the reward center in the brain in the way that encourages dependency, which sets the stage for the onset of a full-blown addiction. Our phones are tools of compulsion. We receive a text and instantly read it and respond. We receive a phone call and immediately answer it. Between the texts and calls, we neurotically check Facebook for new posts and Twitter for new tweets. When we're done with social media, we check our email, search for news headlines, and watch YouTube videos. In short, a lot of people are addicted. And you've all seen people sitting together at a restaurant looking at their phones instead of interacting with each other. Or even in the same room, they're texting each other. And this is a physical problem as well, because when you have your neck bent over, your head weighs about 11 pounds. And it puts a lot of pressure on your shoulders, on your back, on your body. And it creates problems there that you may have to go to the chiropractor or somebody else to get it fixed. And so it's not just a habitual a compulsive thing or an addictive thing. It's a physical thing. And, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. It's common and it is easy to develop. But we really need to say, do I really need to be checking this? Do I need to use this as comfort? Can I just use it just for productivity when it's absolutely necessary? Can I interact with people face to face? Can I enlarge my circle of friends? Can I show more empathy and reduce the anxiety? Reduce the anger and reduce those negative emotions that are so destructive to your health. And with that, I think that that people would be much better off. And I hope that you will continue researching and doing the things that are really good for you. And reading, read. Go to the library. Get a library card. And turn off the TV. And just read a good book. Immerse yourself in a good book with some nice hot tea. And put your feet up and enjoy your life. Thank you so much for being on, for joining me today. And bless your heart. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, beautiful week. Take care. Bye-bye now.